You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, with the turbulent stock market and millions of people out of work, we'll get some personal finance advice on how to get through the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the story around coronavirus is changing a lot, and it's changing quickly, and that can leave a lot of people feeling uncertain or scared. That's an environment that scammers just absolutely love, and of course they're going to take advantage of it. So our next guest has some tips for how to spot coronavirus scams and how to protect yourself and your family from them. Tiffany Bernhardt-Schultz is the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau. Tiffany, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
Consumers write to the Better Business Bureau to complain about scams all the time. Have you seen a significant increase in complaints during the outbreak?
We've seen a lot of scam calls come in, lots of scam reports across all different areas relating to the coronavirus and COVID-19. So hopefully I can educate some the viewers out there, the listeners, of what's going on in our marketplace right now.
Okay, so let's talk about what some of the coronavirus scams are that have caught your eye so far.
The first thing is spoofing, and that's when you get emails, text messages, and phone calls that look like they're coming from either a government agency, the CDC, the WHO, and these emails or the other forms of communication that you may be getting, they look like it's really coming from that organization, and they want you to read an article on virus prevention tips, or in the latest case, they want you to take a COVID-19 online test. And if you don't do that, they're not willing to give you your stimulus tip or check. Not all of that really works together. If you really think about it, there is no online test for COVID-19. The stimulus checks are not out yet. The government is depositing those right into your account. Nobody should be contacting you for banking account information. All they're looking for is personal information and making it look like it's coming from a reputable agency.
So the main thing is, regardless of the scam, they want you to click on something that will either take you someplace where you'll be asked to give some personal information or introduce a virus or something on your computer. Does that kind of summarize it?
That does summarize it. And when you do click on those links that are unsolicited, they could be downloading malware or spyware to your computer. So you really want to be careful. Just delete unsolicited emails. Don't click on anything and don't download anything to your computer.
You mentioned the federal government's program to send out relief money to Americans. That's coming out soon, hasn't come out yet. What's the most important thing we need to be aware of with scammers trying to use that thing, those relief checks to scam us?
The most important thing is to not give any personal information to people that you don't know, any solicited phone calls, any solicited text messages. That money is being deposited based off of your tax information that was submitted in 2018 or 2019. And if you did not provide a bank account, that money will be mailed to you. So you should be giving no personal information regarding your banking account information to anybody who contacts you.
What about small businesses? What are scammers doing to try to take advantage of small business owners?
Well, you know, it's really across the board. It's everything that the consumers are hearing as well. We're all consumers, regardless if we're a business or not. So we really, really need to be careful. For example, let's talk about online seller buyer scams. That if you're ordering, supplies for your business, you could be going to a fake website that's out there. There's fake websites that are selling masks, hand sanitizing supplies, wipes, toilet paper, you name it. So you really want to be careful where you're purchasing your items from right now. I know a lot of people are working from home, but there's still businesses out there that are open and operating and still need supplies. So just be very, very careful where you're purchasing your items from. If you can't get it from your regular supplier, don't just turn to an online site. Make sure you check out that online site before you go ahead and click purchase.
We're talking about scams related to the COVID-19 pandemic and with Tiffany Bernard Schultz, the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau, trying to get you up to speed on what you need to know to protect yourself. Is this a time when there's so much uncertainty and fear that you would expect to see scammers trying to exploit and that people might be more susceptible than they ordinarily would?
Oh, absolutely. This is a scammer's dream. It is the perfect storm. And every day we're turning around and there's a different scam or several different scams that are popping up in our report. So the scammers live off of consumer fear. And right now, everybody is on edge. They're hoping that they do the right thing. Maybe they're believing they want to believe something, but you really need to step back and think about, who is this information coming from? And you want to get your information from reputable sources. Turn to your local news, turn to the CDC, turn to the World Health Organization. Don't get your information from unsolicited advisors.
What about companies or products claiming to have cures for coronavirus? How do we evaluate those claims?
Well, right now there is no cure for the coronavirus, for COVID-19. That's really what you need to put in the back of your head, that there is no cure. If somebody is coming to you saying, hey, here's a cure, here's a prevention medication, there isn't anything right now. And when there is, everybody's going to know about it because it will be national news. So just keep that in mind, that if somebody is soliciting it to you now, it just doesn't exist.
Well, and there's usually some sort of a thing in there that says, well, the government doesn't want you to know about this, you know, that appeals to conspiracy theorists. Do we know if scammers are targeting specific demographics with their coronavirus scams?
It's all across the board. Everybody is a consumer. Everybody is vulnerable. We just urge all consumers to be very, very careful. There may be different scams that somebody in a different age group may get than you get. However, we're all consumers at the end of the day. So we need to be very, very careful about what we're agreeing to these days, what we're purchasing, what links we're clicking on.
And there's more to this than just scams. There's also the issue of price gouging on things like hand sanitizer or toilet paper. What are you seeing there? What kinds of complaints are you getting?
The number of complaints coming into the BBB, both locally and nationally, are up. We're seeing those become reported across the state of Wisconsin, across the United States. It's coming in hand sanitizer, toilet paper, water, those basic necessities that we take for granted. So price gouging is illegal in the state of Wisconsin as of March 12th of 2020. If you do see price gouging at a retailer, we highly encourage you to report that to us at bbb.org/complaint. We do need a bunch of information from you, the store where it happened, any photos that you can take, your receipt, anybody you came in contact with while there, and an address of the location. And do keep in mind that when it comes to price gouging, anything over 15% of pre-emergency prices is considered price gouging. So you really want to look at the prices in the area too. If something looks like it's price gouged, but the prices are the same across multiple retailers, it's probably not price gouging. So, but we do encourage you to submit those reports so that we can dig a little bit deeper into it.
What are you watching for next as the coronavirus outbreak continues and as Americans start getting some of their relief money?
Well, scams around that stimulus check are going to be ramping up. So right now, the latest is where they either send you an email to take an online test for COVID-19, or they're not going to give you your stimulus check. That's one of the very latest ones. Another one is calling or texting you for your bank account information so that they can deposit that into your account. So those are the two latest ones that have popped up. But there's going to be more. If the scammers can dream it, they will.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing this information with us. And again, it's bbb.org. That's the website for the Better Business Bureau. Tiffany, thanks for being with us. Tiffany Bernard Schultz is the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau. She was with us today to talk about how to protect yourself from coronavirus scams and what you need to know about the rules on price gouging. And for more on this, tune in to the Ideas Network Thursday at 11. Larry Mueller hosts his monthly consumer protection show, and you can call with your questions and concerns about coronavirus-related scams and more. Coming up, two Wisconsin companies are partnering to help supply respirator masks, barriers to help block the spread of coronavirus. We talked to the president of one of them about the project. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm John Munson. Coming up, more protective face masks are on the way in Wisconsin thanks to two companies in the state that are switching gears to produce them together. Right now, though, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about a Wisconsinite's big role in a Hollywood film.
Mike Moe runs a martial arts school in Wanakee, Wisconsin, and he has a budding acting career as well. He recently talked with Beta's Doug Gordon about the moment he learned he'd been cast in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood alongside Brad Pitt.
So I just remember I was in Wanakee at our little neighborhood pool with my kids, and I get the news and I freak out a little bit. I'm sure some of my neighbors were wondering what I was so giddy about.
There,
and I do a big belly flop into the pool to celebrate, and it was a good day.
And how it felt to portray Bruce Lee in the film.
To be able to play Bruce has been kind of a lifelong bucket list thing for me ever since I started acting. So to have it all come together in a project like this with a maestro director like Quentin Tarantino it's been worth the wait.
Here he is talking about filming his big scene and the joy of seeing it all on the big screen.
I think the greatest thing that Quentin gave me that week was he just let me be. You know, a couple of rehearsals before we started shooting, he said, look, it's all on you because I have an idea of how I want to shoot this scene. Yeah. It's going to be a one-shot take. This is how I want to do it. And if you don't nail it, I'm going to have to change it. And this is the way I want to shoot it. But I wouldn't have hired you if I didn't believe that you could do it.
Yeah.
So as my knees are quivering, I said, yes, yeah. Yes, sir, you got the right guy.
Yeah. How many takes did it take to get it?
So I think, if I remember correctly, he gave us like a pep talk. He said, all right, we've got this long 4.5-minute scene. There's definitely going to be multiple takes because there's going to be a plane that flies by or somebody's going to flub a line or the camera's going to be out of position. And if there's any moment where I don't like it, don't assume it's you. I'm just going to cut it so we can save our performance because it might be a long day. I don't know how many days they had blocked off for this, but I know it was a lot more than what we actually had to use it in because I think we got it in our fourth take.
Oh, way to go.
Yeah,
that's very
so
impressive.
I just remember he said, don't freak out as we get close to the end because there's going to be this tendency to start celebrating before you finish the scene. Stay in it.
Yeah, stay in the
moment.
And
then when I say cut, then we get it. So we got it on the fourth take, and I think Quentin was already jumping up and down. So he was kind of contradicting you. So you can see him off to the side.
Yeah.
Not only he's the one that's laughing the loudest at the jokes.
Yeah.
Then we call cut, and he's the first one jumping up and down, and we all celebrate. Brad and I, high 10, you know, it was a celebration. He's like, that's the one that's going to be in the movie, but we're going to do it again. And then he says, why? And then the whole crew, unbeknownst to me, says, because we love making movies.
Mm.
And it was this whole team thing.
That's great.
And it just felt like that moment I was like welcomed into this Tarantino film family.
You're a little man with a big mouth and a big chip.
You're the one with the big mouth. And I would really enjoy closing it, especially in front of all my friends. But my hands are registered as lethal weapons. That means we get into a fight, I accidentally kill you, I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter.
There's a beautiful scene in the movie in which Margot Robbie's character, Sharon Tate, goes to a theater to watch herself in a movie. And with that in mind, I'm curious, where did you go to watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the first time?
It was before it came out. It was at the Chinese Grauman's Theater.
Mm.
And it was at the world premiere with, you know, the whole red carpet and the whole shebang.
Wow.
Just all these, you know, very, very, very famous and talented people. So that was a night I'll never forget.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of your performance the first time you saw it at Grauman's Chinese Theater?
I don't know. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
I think I was watching my wife's reaction more than I was watching myself on screen.
How did she react?
She just kept squeezing my arm like a vice grip.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool moment.
Mike Moe, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
Mike Moe is an actor and martial arts instructor from Wanakee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Colbert.
Now, respirator masks, ones with more protective air filtration than a simple surgical mask, are in high demand for medical workers during the coronavirus outbreak. They're also in short supply. Two Wisconsin companies are teaming up to cut into that shortage. One of those is Monterey Mills in Janesville, a massive textile facility. And company president Dan Sinekin is on the line with us to talk about the project. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Tell us first about this partnership. Why did you choose to team up with another company to produce face masks?
Well, Eder Flag was our partner in Milwaukee. They were a cut-and-sew operation eager to lend a hand. And as we were developing our product, we have our own cut-and-sew operation in Janesville, but we reached out to Eder, and they were excited to help and worked all weekend with us and helped us create prototypes. And they're our first cut-and-sew operation that we've aligned with, and we've got several others that we're partnered with.
Could you describe the mask that you're making for us?
Sure. It's a washable, reusable barrier mask. It utilizes Monterey Mills technology that we use for air and water filtration, coupled with a spun nonwoven material to create a really effective barrier mask to protect frontline workers.
And how were you able to reconfigure your manufacturing process in order to start working on these particular masks?
That was a difficult challenge, actually. We normally schedule our facility a couple weeks in advance, but when the order came to try to find a way to help, my team just were amazing. Production people, manufacturing people, design people, all working together to figure out what the best product would be, start creating prototypes, and then finding a partner to help with us over the weekend. And we literally converted the majority of our manufacturing to produce these products immediately.
So how many masks have you made so far?
Tens of thousands of masks. We have orders for significantly more than that. We are in the process of adding more cut and sew operations to our partnerships. We've met with and sent samples to facilities that are customers of ours all over the country. We supply fabric to a variety of industries: apparel, paint roller, costume, equine. So many of them have reached out to us. How can we help you? We want to keep our employees working. We've got plenty of sewing machines available. So we're really working with our customers to support this effort and produce as many as we can, as fast as we can.
What is your capacity for making these masks?
Well, it changes daily, literally. I was on the phone today with someone who thinks they can produce 50,000 units a day for us. We walked them through our prototypes and our requirements. Our goal is to be producing between 250,000 and 500,000 a week. We think we can get there by mid-April. That's been our team's challenge, and we'll see if we can accomplish it.
Has your mill ever done anything like this before, switching gears like this to create a different product that was in high demand?
Never like this. This is a unique, once-in-a-lifetime effort. You know, you hear stories from my parents or my grandparents about the war effort, and this is akin to that. We certainly tried to help when 10 years ago, when the Gulf spill happened in the Gulf of Mexico. We had a fabric that uniquely was designed to pick up oil. And we went down to the Gulf. I was actually in the Wall Street Journal interviewed because our fabric was very effective. We certainly got some orders from that, but nothing like this.
How difficult is it? What's the challenge here to keep your employees safe as they keep working to help on this effort?
You nailed it. That's the big challenge. You want to keep, we check every employee, making sure that they're not we want to make sure that they're safe and that they're going to keep our other employees safe and healthy. We want to make sure that we're not going to contribute to the issues. We want to help, and we think everyone that comes to work should come to work because they want to help, and that's what's happening in my factory. The employees that come to work want to stay healthy. We're staggering breaks. We're staggering lunches. We're only allowing one person at a table in our cafeteria. We're keeping the cafeteria tables 6 feet away from one another. We're trying to take every effort to try to keep our employees healthy and safe, but we believe we have a duty to the community, and we're trying to fulfill that.
What are you hearing from the health systems or other clients like the city of Milwaukee who are or will be receiving the masks that you're making?
All we've gotten is enthusiastic comments. We've delivered masks to the health inspector in Milwaukee, the sheriff's office, numerous nursing homes, a large hospital in Madison, the largest health system in Milwaukee and in Chicago has ordered masks from us. We're getting all very positive feedback. The first hospital that we reached out to did exhaustive testing, and we've got hospitals in Ohio, Arizona, Colorado, California, all reaching out to us because our mask is extremely unique. It's machine washable, reusable. It can be used by itself for someone who may not be in a real threatening situation, but if they wanted to couple it with an N95 mask, that's what we're recommending. It prolongs the life of an N95 mask. You put one on, you put our mask over it, our mask can shield the N95, an extra barrier of protection, and then machine wash it and dry it, and it's ready again, sterilized to be used the next day.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's Dan Sinekin, president of Monterey Mills in Janesville. We talked to him today about his company's partnership to help produce respirator barrier masks for reducing the spread of the coronavirus. Coming up, we'll get some advice on how to manage our finances during the coronavirus outbreak, and we'd like your questions at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's all coming up. I'm John Munson in for Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm John Munson in for Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow after 8 on the morning show, Dr. Zorba Pastor joins host Keely Boltina to answer your questions about how to prevent the spread of the coronavirus and what it means for your family's health. That's tomorrow morning at 8 on the Ideas Network. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has been making a lot of people nervous about their financial situation. The U.S. Labor Department says a record 3.3 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week, and that doesn't even count all the people who are contract workers or workers in the gig economy who are out of a job. Meanwhile, the stock markets have tumbled over the past several weeks. In fact, after topping out at more than 29,000 in February, the Dow Jones has fallen more than 7,000 points. And it could be weeks or even months before stay-at-home orders are lifted and businesses are allowed to reopen. It may seem scary, but our guest says there are some money moves we can make to protect ourselves and get through the uncertainty. Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's also the author of two books, including Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. Chris, good to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you.
What should our mindset be right now?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, we have to admit that we've never seen anything like this before. We're in unprecedented territory. And so I think our mindset needs to really shift into more of a conserve mode. You know, we're used to doing what we want when we want. But in reality, a lot of our financial situations aren't where they needed to be. And so now in this time where people are having layoffs or hours cut or maybe even jobs lost, it's now a chance for us to shift shift our mindset, go into conserve mode, and learn to take care of the things that are necessary.
What if we're just feeling hopeless and depressed and we just don't know how long this is going to last? How do we combat those feelings, in specifically in terms of our finances?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to understand that no one has a crystal ball. We do not know how long this is going to last. And so what we have to do is begin to kind of call back and look at history. You know, the stock market is a living, breathing thing. It responds when people are overly optimistic. It increases. When people are skeptical or worried, it will decrease. And so right now, we've seen this kind of story before. Now, we've not seen a pandemic like this before in a very, very long time, but we have seen situations where the stock market has been a roller coaster. It's gone down and up. And calling back to the SARS epidemic in 02 and 03, the stock market dropped almost 12%. But by the end of 03, it was up 19%. So it had come back. And we look at the terrible events around 9/11, that terrible day. The stock market obviously plunged as America's hearts were broken. But at the same time, it also came back. And most recently in 07 to 09, the Great Recession, the market dipped, but it came back. So I'm wanting to remind people out there that the stock market is going to come back. What we have to do is call on our resiliency and awareness and a plan until that happens.
You mentioned going into conserve mode. I'd like to dig into that a little bit deeper. Exactly what should we be conserving and how should we do it?
Yes, sir. Well, in conserve mode, what you want to do is to protect what you have or what's going to be coming in the way of resources. But I tell people we've got to be adult enough to know the difference between a want and a need. And the things that we need are the four walls. And I tell people with four walls, I'm talking about you've got to take care of your shelter. And so that's making sure you're paying your rent or your mortgage, and as well as taking care of your utilities, what's surrounded with keeping the lights on and the heat. But next, you want to make sure that you have food on the table, something nourishing for yourself and your family, but then you also want to make sure that your transportation is taken care of. You've got gas in your vehicle and you can get from point A to point B. So the four walls are your housing, your utilities, your food, and your transportation. Those are the four absolutes that we must take care of month in and month out.
So what sort of unnecessary spending should we cut out, even if we may still have a steady income and some savings?
Well, John, here's the thing. If someone has a steady income and you're okay, your job is stable, your income is stable, then I encourage you to continue down the path. If you've been attacking debt, that's fine. You keep that mindset and you keep going. But if your income has been cut in half or lost, now what you're doing is really beginning to cut out the things that are unnecessary. For example, the gym membership. Some people are still paying this auto draft from their checking account, but the gym's not open. So let's cancel that and save that $100 to $150 each and every month, or the other subscriptions that you may not be using or may be non-essential right now. And I think it's really important for people to understand they have that power to be able to take control. And when things get better or income stabilizes, then you can look at adding back what's necessary.
We're talking with personal finance expert Chris Hogan, who will be answering your questions, if you have them, at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. What struggles are you going through right now? What specific questions do you have for Chris Hogan about how you ought to handle this? 800-642-1234. Well, we will be getting these stimulus checks. Maybe some of us will be getting a tax refund. Chris, what's the best thing we can do with that money when it comes in?
Well, John, I think the first thing we could do is look at this and understand that these stimulus checks aren't something that are just going to continue. And I think we have to have that mindset and looking at this and understanding this is an opportunity to get some help. But again, the difference is looking at this, we want to put that in our savings account. We want to make sure we're allocating it to the things that are needed, those four walls that I talked about earlier. The last thing we want to do, and we tend to do this at times, we look to medicate with buying some stuff. And this isn't the time to do online shopping or glancing at things that you're interested in or would like. We have to change our mindset around this so we're able to get through this in ample time.
You know, that's really, we're all used to online shopping now, and it's pretty easy to be sitting in your recliner and just pull out your phone and order a bunch of stuff that shows up a week later or maybe even the next day.
Yes.
We maybe need to think twice about that.
We really do. And listen, you know, we're one click away. I talked about this last week on the Chris Hogan Show. You know, being one click away is convenient, but it can be dangerous to us financially. And so I've told people, listen, unsubscribe to those retailer mailings that come into your email. Don't even go glance and look at those things, because we can tend to look to buy some stuff to make us feel better. But at the end of the day, it's really not going to make us feel better, especially if it prevents us from putting food on the table. And so we've got to rise up right now and really begin to say, what's necessary for my family, and how do we begin to get through this all together? And that collective mindset will help to change people's perspective as we walk through this tough time.
We've got a caller on the line. Ben is with us from Oconomowoc. Ben, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, first of all, it's great hearing Chris. He definitely has a voice for radio, and he looks great on television as well. I followed some of his advice and the advice of others such as Dave Ramsey for a while now, including doing things like having an emergency fund. But about 2 years ago, I actually got hurt pretty bad in a traffic collision, pretty much lost all my income. But fortunately, I had kind of planned ahead to a certain extent. For a car, I paid cash for a good, used, basic electric car, which also meant that I didn't have to buy any gasoline. I'm also handy, and I actually installed solar panels on my house, so I didn't have an electric bill, and I could make my own electricity for the electric car. Besides that, our only payments were just the house payment. We didn't have any student loans, anything like that. And I really counted myself fortunate that because we had minimized so many of our expenses so much that even though I was out of work, that we still got by okay. We had to rely heavily on that emergency fund. And since then, I've been slowly working that back up. My wife works for the school system, so she's at home out of work. And fortunately, I have different skills, so I was able to do some construction work right now. It's just working with one other person. So, you know, we're still sort of socially distanced, but we're doing okay. But it's
so,
a matter of...
Ben, what's your question for Chris Hogan? What's your question for Chris Hogan?
Well, what I really wanted to say is, what are some of the different types of things that people can do to be prepared long term?
Okay, Ben. Well, first of all, let me congratulate you. You know, the moves that you made and having that emergency fund really put you and your family in a different situation. You know, it turned sometimes an emergency into simply an inconvenience because you have the money to be able to take care of it. So I applaud you for getting yourself out of debt and being prepared. But I'll tell you this, right now, in the long term, I think the smartest thing that we could do is go into conserve mode, which is, again, looking to eliminate all the unnecessary expenses. Any kind of spending, it needs to be based on just what's a necessity. And so having that mindset and stopping ourselves from our urges or our cravings, that means we're going to cook meals at home. We're going to do things that make sense collectively as a family, but we're also going to look for ways to bring in extra income. And so I applaud you for hustling, you know, and I'm sorry to hear about your car accident, but I'm glad to see that you rose above that and started to figure out what can I do for the sake of myself as well as my family. And so I think what we have to do is don't hold your breath during this period. We don't know how long this is going to last. And so adopting a different mind change, a shift, so to speak, allows us to begin to look at everything as we're conserving as much as possible. And it just helps us to live smarter and to be a little bit more prepared for the unforeseen future.
Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's also the author of Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth and How You Can Too. We're talking about how to protect our finances during the COVID-19 outbreak, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Are you out of work or experiencing a reduction in hours? Have you filed for unemployment? Maybe you're in a job where you wouldn't be able to file unemployment. What about then? How do you keep your bills paid? 800-642-1234. Our conversation with Chris Hogan continues in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm John Munson. We're talking about what we should be doing with our finances during the coronavirus pandemic with Chris Hogan. He's a personal finance expert in Nashville and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's also the author of a couple of books, including Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. How are you feeling about your finances these days? Are you concerned you won't have enough to get by? What questions do you have about your finances, debt, bills, investments? If you're a business owner, how are you coping with what's going on? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're about to get, a lot of questions. Before we get to those calls, though, Chris, Wednesday's the first of the month. That's typically when the rent is due, other bills like the mortgage, things like that. What if we don't have the money to pay that or other bills?
Okay. Now, in that type of situation, I tell people you may not have the money to pay, but you can pay attention. And so I would encourage anyone out there to get on the phone and call all of your creditors. And that would be your landlord if you don't have the money to cover the rent, or your mortgage servicing company if you don't have that payment. We have to get on there and explain the situation. Let them know that you've had an income cut or a job loss, and let them know what you're looking to do. And this can be a tough step for people to take, but being proactive, it kind of helps to change the narrative. I want people to reach out and call them. Make notes on the call of who you spoke with, the date, the time, and the context of the call. The creditor's not going to like it, but guess what? You don't like this situation. This is about trying to get through. And so calling them, communicating with them about your situation and what you're looking to do. The worst thing you could do is avoid the problem. All that does is make it worse. And the second thing is don't make a promise that you can't keep. Don't promise to pay next week if you don't know if you're going to have the money. Be open and honest and upfront and give them an opportunity to hear you. But again, don't expect them to like it, but you don't like it either. So it's best to communicate even if you don't have the money.
Here in Wisconsin, by the way, for rents and mortgages, there are some freezes in place. So people should look into that as well. Let's go to the phones and hear from Luann in East Troy. Luann, thanks for joining us on Central Time today.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I lost about 25% to 33% of the money in my IRA and 401k. So I kind of panicked and thought, okay, stocks are low, I should buy now. And I put about $1,000 into the stock market trying to predict who would be a stock that would go up. So companies involved in medical care and such. But then I remembered I'm terrible at picking stocks. So is now a good time to buy or a bad time to buy?
Okay, Luann, thank you so much for your question. You know, the stock market, as I mentioned earlier, is a living, breathing thing. So it's going to go up and it's going to go down. It's like a roller coaster ride. But the most important thing is, if you're investing, is to remain consistent in that. Now, in trying to pick or time the market, that only leads to headache and heartache. Rarely do you hear about people coming out ahead there. So what I would encourage you to do is to reach out to your investment professional, begin to have a conversation. Investing is based on the goal, the amount of time that you have, but also your risk tolerance. Some of us are wired to take a little bit more risk than others. And so identifying that, it will allow you to invest in a way that fits you. And so it's really personalized. So what I would do is whatever you've done thus far, leave it there, but reach out to your investment professional and begin to have a conversation so they can look at your portfolio, but also get more of an understanding of your timing and your goals. And so that way they can help guide you and direct you. You want to work with someone that's in this all day long, not somebody just jumping in and out trying to time the market.
Luann mentioned her 401k. Chris Hogan, how do you feel about tapping into retirement savings to get by during this downtime?
I absolutely don't like it. And that's one of the things that the government talked about allowing people to be able to do that really made me want to pull my one hair out. This is, you know, we put money away for our dreams and our goals for the future. And right now, yes, it is tempting to look at it and to be just frustrated with the loss. But the reality is getting out of the market right now or pulling money out, you remove the opportunity for the rebound. As I mentioned back in 02 and 03, there was a rebound. As I mentioned after 9/11, there was a rebound, and so on and so forth, even with the Great Recession of 07 through 09. So getting out right now is a bad move. It's going to remove the opportunity for you to be able to catch the wave when it comes back up, because it is going to come back. I just can't tell you when.
Luann, thanks for your call. We'll go next to Paula, who joins us from the Fox Valley. Paula, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have been debating myself back and forth, so I'm going to ask somebody smarter than me. I have finally kind of come over my hilltop. I've got my four walls are set, and I'm trying to buy a house in about 6 months. But I was going back and forth, do I get my debt below the cutoff, or do I increase my down payment percentage? So that's what I've been going back and forth about. What do you think?
Paula, well, thank you so much for that question. And buying a home is a big step. You know, the American dream is homeownership. But it's not just buying it, it's owning it. And so I think there are things that we can do to put ourselves on a path to be better prepared for those unforeseen things that can pop up. So I would encourage you to realize that, yes, you are going to get a house one day. But I would encourage you to attack and clean up your debt, and then get an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses so you are prepared and set for any unforeseen thing that may come, and then begin to save for the home down payment. Now, I go in that order for this very reason. Too many people have reached out and bought a home really quick. Unfortunately, a lot of the banks or mortgage institutions will allow it to happen quickly, but they don't understand the overall financial status of people and what's going on. We don't want to be one job loss or income drop away from losing that home. So setting yourself up and preparing to do it the right way, it'll take a little bit more time, but young lady, you will feel better in the end.
Thanks, Paula, for that call. Let's go next to Travis in Richland Center. Travis, go ahead. You're on Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. The question I had was my wife and I will qualify for this stimulus check, and we got two vehicle payments. I've got a secure job being I transport ingredient products. One car is almost paid off. Do we take that stimulus check and pay off that one car, or do we just hang on to that money for now?
Okay, Travis, tell me this, my friend. How much do you owe on the car that's almost paid off?
Just about what we're going to get for the stimulus checks. I think it's going to be about $2,400.
Okay, and how much is the car payment?
Oh, probably right around $300 a month.
Okay. Well, I would tell you without a shadow of a doubt to attack and pay off that car. And what you're going to do is now save $300 a month from leaving you. And so, you know, you all could redirect the $300 you were making on the car payment back towards your savings. And now you've got this car paid for. It's yours. And the key thing is don't go add any more debt to this. You want to have the mindset of getting debt out of your life. Remember, debt's a thief. It steals from you now, but also from your future, because it doesn't allow you to be able to invest. So definitely pay off that car. Stay focused. You guys keep walking the steps of attacking debt and building up your emergency fund, and you're going to protect yourself and your family in the long run.
Travis, thanks so much for that call, and good luck with your finances as you navigate this tough time. Chris, we're about out of time here, and very quickly, leave us with some words of encouragement about getting through this crisis.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I know without a shadow of a doubt, as Americans, we're resilient, and we've all been through some tough times before. We just need to think back. We've overcome some personal things or things inside of our family, and goodness knows we've dealt with things as a society before. I think it's time to call on those muscles, to go back and really look and understand the resolve that we have, and to understand we can get through this. And I just want to encourage everyone to protect your mind and look, and don't become obsessed about this. It's good to be informed, but don't obsess. Let's remember the things that we can control, our attitude, our outlook, as well as our actions. And staying in control of those things will help us shape our tomorrow. We're going to get through this because we're all in this thing together.
And that's where we'll leave it. Chris Hogan, thanks so much for joining us today. Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville and the host of The Chris Hogan Show, also the author of Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. We talked with him about how we can better manage our finances during the coronavirus outbreak. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, economies around the world have been rocked by coronavirus epidemics, and the impact could be long-lasting. We find out whether Wisconsin could be able to weather a recession and what could trigger it this close to home. Frank Lloyd Wright's influence is seen throughout the Midwest and especially in Wisconsin. We find out how his work in New York is actually what propelled him to fame. And when you think of your favorite family photos, are they staged portraits or ones that you happen to capture in the moment? We'll talk about the value of taking candid photos of your loved ones. That's coming up tomorrow on Central Time.